leave your pets at home.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Hear ye, Sheridan community, the countdown begins. The Tournament of Knights rides into the Sheridan County Fairgrounds on July 25th. Experience thrilling jousting, daring knights, live entertainment, tasty fare, and fun for the whole kingdom. Gather your family and join the adventure of the summer. This is CHAPS' major fundraiser, and tickets are on sale now on the CHAPS website. Don't miss the Tournament of Knights, where legends come to life.
Each season at the Cozy Corner Gift Shop brings a new reason to stop by the gift shop inside of Sheridan Memorial Hospital. You'll be surprised by the handbags, sweaters and wraps, jewelry and home goods, cards and thoughtful gifts. It's amazing how they fit it all in there. Shopping at Cozy Corner also means you're giving back to care in your hospital programs. Visit the Cozy Corner, just inside the front entrance of Sheridan Memorial Hospital, where every gift shop purchase has a purpose.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, June 23rd. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by the State Director of Wyoming State Council of the Society for Human Resource Management, Nicole Romeo. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So for individuals that may be sitting out there wondering, what is the Society for Human Resource Management, and what role does it play in today's workplace?
So you'll often hear it referred to as SHRM. It's an acronym that most people refer to. And of course, it's actually the Society for Human Resource Management. It was founded in 1948, and it is the largest professional organization in the world for HR professionals. So their mission, truthfully, is connecting HR professionals across the country and across the world and providing education, resources, networking opportunities. Anything that has to do with HR, they are trying to provide those services to HR professionals, as well as students, you know, studying the HR profession. And even it even goes to business owners, people working in administration who are doing functions of HR without any training.
Now, when it comes to how it got started in Wyoming, is there a story there?
There is a story there. I'm not like the best person to ask because I've been involved maybe the last decade or so, but I do know that our Wyoming State Council was loosely formed in the 80s. I believe it started in Cheyenne with just one little group of HR professionals, and it's grown over the years to, we have five chapters across the state now, and then a state council that oversees that. So we're affiliated with SHRM National. We, you know, are associated with them. We use a lot of their resources. They run our website, those sorts of things, but we run independently a lot of our operations as far as we get to choose what we provide to the professionals across the state. And it helps us to sort of cater to what we need specifically in the state of Wyoming, which of course is different than somebody in California might need.
Now, before the show, you and I were talking, what is human resources? Because there's the idea of what human resources are. And you said something funny. You said, you know, a lot of people see HR as the principal's office of the workplace. What is HR?
So it is, I think once upon a time, maybe it was sort of the principal's office, or maybe it was just hiring and payroll, but it has grown so much. And I will say, especially since COVID, there used to be a title of HR generalist, and now that's almost comical because HR professionals have to do absolutely everything. So we're navigating all the new AI stuff. We're taking care of employee engagement, workplace investigation. So maybe that aspect of the principal's office a little bit, compensation, employment law, And truthfully, just trying to create workplaces where people want to stick around, because retention is one of the biggest challenges that employers face.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I were to pinpoint a question that I get asked the most as an HR professional, it's like, how do I keep my employees to stay? How do I get them to stay without paying them like three times what I can afford to pay them? Like, what can I do? And so there's a lot of work on the, let's make this a place where people want to work, because turnover is expensive. It's difficult for employers and employees alike. So
I think a lot of people who don't own a business or maybe even work in something very specific don't understand what it costs to train somebody. Excuse me. But there's the idea where, you know, a lot of places have specialty roles. I can't just hire anybody off of the street. Mm-hmm. This has got to be a very specific skill set, or, and if you don't know it, I got to train you. So how do you help shift a culture which has been maybe in place for years, and you start seeing people not really enjoying that culture, but you've got to approach owner, manager, supervisor, mm-hmm. somebody to say, this is what you got to shift. How do you approach that?
So I think it's just like any other problem. First, it's an information gathering. What's going on? Like, what do, you know, we've done things like employee surveys, for example, like what, you know, what's going on? What's wrong? What do you enjoy? Because we want to make sure that we hold on to that and don't change that. But what are some challenges you're facing here? It's not necessarily just a forum to complain, because of course you're going to get those people who are like, you know, last week, Sally said this thing to me and it made me mad and I don't like it. But really diving into what is it about this workplace that is challenging for you. Once you have that information, it's just tackling that specific information. So if that looks like you have a pattern with this particular supervisor, I'm just going to throw out an example. You have a supervisor who is really scattered at developing a schedule. It's creating havoc for the employees. They don't know when they're supposed to work, why one week they have 5 hours and the next week they have 20. And it's really frustrating.
Yeah.
And so it's really then going, okay, it's this supervisor. That's not something we're going to terminate somebody for, but we need to do some training and some work with the supervisor. Are they overwhelmed? Do they have too much on their plate? And this is just something that's falling by the wayside. Or do they need training in the scheduling system? Do they need to reprioritize some things? Do we need to step in and provide support? And so again, just like any problem, really, it's gather the information, determine what the issue is, and then develop a unique situation and a solution to help solve that particular problem. The final step is really just making sure that you really follow through on that.
Implementation.
Yes, exactly. I think that's probably the place that most employers, when they fail on an initiative, that is why. Because they're doing all these great steps to determine that there's information, but they're not following through on that information. So not only are they not fixing the problem, they're exacerbating it by, you know, damaging employee trust. Like, why should we tell you what's going on? You're not gonna do anything about it anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that follow through and that reporting out and that transparency is really important.
Now, are these resources available to everybody within the state of Wyoming? So if a business owner's like, I just can't get a handle on HR, maybe I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to HR. I invented a widget.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't invent how to handle folks that I need to help me with the widget. Are they able to call this organization, just so I get it right, Society for Human Resource Management? You call it the...
We just call it SHRM.
SHRM.
It's just one of those acronyms, you know, like in every business, you have all the acronyms. And I always say SHRM and people are like, what is that? So it's just shorter than saying Society for Human Resource Management.
Can they contact this society to get tips, hints, things like that?
Yeah, we're absolutely open to that. So of course, there's resources that are limited to SHRM members, you know, on the website and things like that. You have to have a login just like any other organization. But we've encouraged people to reach out to us. We don't have a phone number because we're a board, so obviously those contact informations change a lot. But we do have an email. It's wyomingshrm@gmail.com, and we welcome communication. We also provide a free monthly virtual training called Coffee and Conversations. We pick a topic that our audience has said, we want to know more about this. And then we just have an informal conversation with HR professionals and anybody who wants to join us to learn more about the topic.
Oh, wow.
Pick each other's brains. This last month, we did one on the Americans with Disabilities Act, so the ADA. This next month, we're going to be doing a conversation about remote workers. And that can look like anything from how do I hire remote workers? How do we keep remote workers engaged? What if I want to do a hybrid? It just really depends. We don't actually formulate an agenda because we want our audience to steer the conversation. And we have had, you know, business owners hop on and they're like, I don't know anything about HR, but I'm supposed to be navigating this. I need help. And everybody is there. The great thing about Wyoming is it's such a small state, not in size, land size, but in population. Mm. And so as a result, we've become this big community of people who want to help each other.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. You don't have hundreds and hundreds of folks mm-hmm. that you have to talk to.
Right.
Or if I call an organization, I know who I'm going to talk to because maybe she's the only one in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do develop a rapport.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to employees and employers, the one thing that I think I've heard the most, and it's more than just private sector. It's mm-hmm. it's military, and that's generational approaches to things. I'm an X. We approach things differently than millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's a bit of a pinch or a rub here or there because we're both trying to get to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we have different ways of achieving that or different priorities, which is another thing that I've seen. You deal with a lot of generational training.
I do. And honestly, in my own workplace, we hire kiddos as young as 14 and 15, and we have people who are working there and they're well into their 70s. So very diverse age in the workplace. And I think that the way that it works best, and this is obviously a huge generalization because there's so many nuances to generational differences, but really it's just what you said, which is we're all trying to get to the same place. And so it's being open to ways to get there. I'm Gen X also. And so sometimes, yeah, there's things that millennials or Gen Z do that I'm like, oh. But if I open myself up and I'm like, okay, they just have a different way of approaching this.
Yep.
And embracing some of those ideas too. I don't know that I would have cared so much about explaining the why of things until I really started working with a lot of millennials and Gen Z. And so now I know the importance of that and how good that feels to know, like, I'm doing this job. Why? Why do I have to do it this way? You know, and being able to broach those ideas. So when you're able to have that open dialogue, I mean, no, you're not always going to agree, but at least everyone feels heard. And if you're open to that, that goes a really long way.
You see a lot of that?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I think we're lucky. And I think this is something I've just seen in Wyoming in general. But we're lucky in my organization that we have a lot of people who really do like to communicate and collaborate.
Mm.
And so, you know, if you're hiring people who just generally like to communicate and collaborate, it doesn't matter what generation they're from. Yeah, they're going to have different ideas, but different ideas aren't bad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they might be able to approach a problem that you've had for a long time.
Like, I never thought about that. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
From a different point of view. And that is one thing that I learned when I went back to college, because
mm-hmm.
I was now an Xer surrounded by millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to just sit there and be the weird old vet hanging off in the corner, I tried to get more involved. I tried to understand where they're coming from. I tried to wonder, why are they asking why so much? And I found it's intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They are super smart. They are super connected. And so they are a massive advantage to anybody who can kind of bridge that gap and be able to say, okay, they're going to ask me why. I've got an answer for that. Now, what are some other misconceptions that someone may have about HR that you would love to dispel right now?
I mean, really the biggest one is that we are just there to work for the organization. We don't care about the staff. We only care about the bottom line of the organization. And while that is partially true, yes, we represent the organization. We have to deal with their best interests.
You got to keep your priorities
in
mind too.
We do. Yeah. I mean, I used to tell people all the time in my former job, if I could afford to pay you all $1 million a year, I would do it in a heartbeat because you're all worth it. However, I have a budget I have to stick to. So we have to pay within the parameters of that. And so I think it's recognizing, number one, that we are there for the employees. We're there as a mediator, is the way I like to put it. You know, we are that bridge. And secondly, we care because we're also employees. So I would say, I would joke about, you know, someone would come in and make a joke about, well, I hope payroll's on time or da da da. And I'm like, oh, it will, because I also get paid, which I enjoy. I enjoy being able to pay my bills. So it will. And so we're humans. We're also employees. Yes, we're in a specialized position, but we're also employees. So we want to be that bridge, and we want the workplace to be better because we also don't want to come to work and be miserable.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on that, when we come back, we're going to be talking about a conference, an opportunity that you have right here in Sheridan. More with the Wyoming State Council of Society for Human Resource Management when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest American birthday bash in Wyoming. The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with hot new country western star Cole Goodwin. I'm Tommy B from the Coyote Morning Show, proud to bring the footstop and two-step and music of Cole Goodwin to downtown Buffalo. The Red, White, and West 250 is more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love and the Western spirit that still runs strong in Wyoming. A night of country music, small town pride, and America's 250th birthday celebrated the way it ought to be. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at wildfeeder.com for the Red, White, and West 250 with Cole Goodwin. Sponsored by the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, the Johnson County 250th Committee, and 93.7 The Coyote.
Celebrate the 4th of July with family, friends, and your country neighbors with fireworks. Whizbang Fireworks is now open with a huge selection of fireworks, including 500-milligram display cakes, multi-shot reloading, artillery shells, bottle rockets, Roman candles, and a lot more. Whizbang Fireworks will get your 4th of July off to a big bang. Whizbang Fireworks, open daily, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on North Main Street behind Pizza Hut. Please follow all local laws. Whizbang Fireworks.
Okay, Saturdays in Sheridan just got more useful. Synergy Shop and Minions open house is every Saturday from 11 to 2 with serious shop space for your RV, boat, trailer, and business. Big doors and high ceilings for lifts or storage. Come walk through, take a look, and see what you can do with it. Donna Garland with Sheridan Realty Associates built and designed these units, and she'll be on site to open every door and answer every question. Synergy Shop-A-Miniums on East Rich Roads, just past Coca-Cola.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. The 2026 Wyoming SHRM Conference is scheduled for September 17th through the 18th at Sheridan College. This is designed to connect HR professionals, business leaders, and workplace experts from across the Cowboy State. So this is this morning. Sorry, I forgot to introduce you again. My bad.
You're good.
We're sitting with the state director of the Wyoming State Council of the Society for Human Resource Management, Nicole Romeo. Nicole, I feel like we've got a really good handle on what HR is and what it can really do for people in the workplace. And this HR isn't just for the bigger companies that have an HR department. Mm-hmm. If you have a small business, you probably have somebody, maybe you don't even know, walking around doing HR for you, right? Who are these people? The negotiators, the mediators, the, hey, we can get through this and do it as a team. We've got that person. That's HR.
Yes, I sure hope so, because if you're hiring someone and not doing an I-9, for example, you're in a lot of trouble. So small business owners, I'm talking to you.
Now, when we talk about the upcoming conference, this is everybody in the state coming here to Sheridan?
Yes. So we do this conference annually, and it does move around the state. Last year we had it in Rock Springs, and this year we get to have it here in Sheridan, which I'm really excited about. Obviously, that makes it a little easy for me since I live here and I'm the state director, but I honestly am just really excited. We have it in such a great venue at Sheridan College. You know, Sheridan is beautiful. We'll have people from other states attending more than likely as well, because it's super easy to buzz across the border from Montana or South Dakota. And it's just a really good opportunity to see how beautiful Sheridan is and what it has to offer while learning all of this great stuff at our conference.
When it comes to what attendees can expect, what are we going to be learning? Is this one of those situations where we've got a bunch of different classes going on all at once, where I've got to pick and choose what I want to see? Or are we going in a straight line?
We're going in a straight line. We've tried to do breakout sessions before, but we found that if a topic was really popular and another wasn't, then it was sort of like you might have two or three people in a classroom versus another one. We're bursting at the seams. So just doing a linear conference is typically the better way to go. And as far as topics go, we do have our keynote speaker is going to be just having a general conversation about overcoming challenges in leadership. His name's Justin Osmond. He's a national speaker. That'll be really fantastic. We've got a hiring expert, Colby Goodman. He's going to be chatting about recruiting in the age of AI, because that's bringing a lot of different elements into hiring, like, you know, fake applications and people using AI to do their whole resumes and they're not accurate or those sorts of things. And so he'll be able to kind of discuss what recruiting is going to start looking like here in the near future. We have local employment attorney Amanda Esch coming to do an update on employment law, which is pertinent to everyone, not just in HR. We all have to follow that. We have a compensation expert coming in to chat about pay, which is obviously a very hot topic, particularly in the Sheridan community where, you know, we have that balance between we have a lot of small businesses that can't afford to pay huge wages, but we live in Sheridan and realistically it's a very expensive place to live in the state of Wyoming. We'll have really great sessions on giving effective feedback. I think it's called giving feedback for people who hate giving feedback. So just sort of overcoming that whole issue. We've got stuff on conducting workplace investigations. So all of our class topics are things I think that obviously are pertinent to HR professionals, but less than obviously they're pertinent to anybody who owns a business, leads a team, supervises people, any of those things.
I mean, I think that something like this is an absolute opportunity for every business leader in town. Industry leaders, individuals that work in just about every aspect of work itself are going to have to either handle employees or handle themselves, which if you are a one-person company, you are your HR and employer.
Yes, you are.
So you've got to be able to navigate through these things. Excuse me, I got a frog today. I apologize.
You're good.
So who do you think would benefit the most? Or is this kind of one of those situations where it's like everybody's going to benefit the exact same way?
I think it would be difficult to say who's going to benefit the most, because I think obviously HR professionals will benefit. This is an updated training. They're eligible for certification credits. So if you've got a HR certification, you get 9 credits for attending the conference. So of course that's beneficial. But I think if you're not in HR, you're also benefiting because you're in a room learning about this stuff with a whole huge group of HR professionals. So in between sessions, you're able to network, ask questions, make connections with people. We have a lot of exchanging of business cards at these things, because it's like, if I am a week from now, I have a question and I'm not in HR. Oh, wait, I just met somebody in HR last week at this conference. I can ring them up and ask them and get some advice on how to handle this situation. You know, we're all in HR. We're pretty big on the whole confidentiality thing too. So I feel like I haven't had an issue reaching out to another HR professional anywhere in the state that wouldn't protect my information, treat it with respect, and give me an honest, really great opinion, or direct me to a resource where they're like, you know, not my area of expertise, but I know somebody, or I know this place you can find this information. So I would think it's equally invaluable. Another piece that a lot of people, I think, don't think about is, as an HR professional, for me, it's good to talk to people who aren't in HR, because then I get a sense of what our leaders need, which makes me a better HR professional.
That's a great point. walking around kind of, you know, getting to know HR individuals, you're all still kind of dealing with the same thing. To have somebody, an outlier, I guess, pop in and say, hey, but I've got this problem. Maybe that's something that somebody hasn't brought before the HR professionals in the past. Okay, now we've got a whole new issue that we've got to address. Are these classes opportunities for questions, open discussion, or do they tend to be almost like TED Talks? Everyone gets up there, they speak, and then they're gone.
I think it's probably a mix. I mean, so you could think, you can expect sort of, it's typically not a death by PowerPoint. We like to not do that.
Thank goodness.
But a TED Talk with the opportunity to have discussion and questions and conversations. We ask all of our speakers to build in time at the end of their presentation for questions. And HR is a pretty chatty group, to be honest. So we will always get questions. Even if you're not brave enough to speak up, your question's probably going to get asked. So.
Or you'll get an email where you can privately send that question.
Yes, exactly.
And get an answer. And maybe there's something, as you said before, you want to talk about something, but maybe there's some confidentiality issues that come with it, but you really need advice on this. This is a great resource. Now, this is all the way September 17th and 18th. This is happening at Sheridan College. You're here now. Have we had registration kickoff as of yet?
Yes, we have, and we do have people registered. You can register at wyoming.shrm.org, so wyoming.shrm.org, and we have early bird pricing right now through August 1st, so it's a good time to take advantage. I know early bird sounds weird being only a month before the conference, but we're really mindful of the fact that a lot of organizations will actually pay for this for their staff as training, and their budgets don't start till July 1st. So we want to make sure we can still include those folks in
and everyone's
early bird.
Got this busy summer to get through.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, and I would encourage you to get registered as soon as possible because I want to see as many people at this conference as possible. We've got a great venue with a lot of room, so we've got room for you.
What are you hoping people walk out with from this conference?
I hope they walk out with some confidence in how to handle HR issues, as well as a curiosity to learn more and to connect with other people, either in the HR profession or just locally as business owners, and keep those connections moving forward so that they have that safe space to ask questions, to vent, to have conversations about things that are coming up, because it's always changing. And the more of a tribe, I guess, if you will, that you can have, I think the better supported you're going to feel.
I'm going to tell you, I think this conference would be worth it just to learn about AI in the workplace. You know, this is a budding industry, but something I said yesterday when I was speaking with the Chamber of Commerce, every single industry is developing an AI. On some front, everybody's putting money into this, whether it be for operations, human resources, scheduling, something. So whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, to stay at the front of our business, no matter what that is, we've got to at least understand it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm fresh from SHRM. I went to the National SHRM Conference just last week in Orlando, and we had a lot of conversations about AI, obviously. And a stance that someone took that I thought was really interesting and really beneficial was this. And it was, imagine AI as a new coworker that's coming into the workplace. They're a new coworker. Maybe they're in a different generation, like you spoke about, than you. So they have a totally different skill set and mindset than you do. So rather than be threatened that this coworker is going to take your job, rather than immediately just distrust them, dislike them, think about that as, here's another person that we're adding to the team with a different set of skills. I'm going to collaborate. I'm going to learn how to collaborate. I'm going to learn how to communicate. And I'm going to learn how to use this person's skills to the best of this organization's interests. And I thought that was a really interesting take, because whether you like it or not, I mean, it's the same as bringing on a person, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're your bestie or not really makes little to no difference. You got to work together. So you've got to learn how to collaborate, communicate, and work together so that everybody's skills mesh and that the organization is driven forward. And so I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind with AI. But like I said, this hiring expert will give a lot of really great detail on what that looks like with recruiting.
One more time, how do I get tickets to this and attend the conference?
So you'll visit Wyoming, so spelled out, .shrm.org. And right there on the main page is the information for our conference and how to register. It's all online. You can pay online. So it's pretty simple.
We'll get a link up on our website and Facebook for you today, folks. I would love to see this just kind of bubbling over the signs with attendees. The more you know about your employees, the more you know how to take care of them, the better they'll help take care of you. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come in here and speak with me. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Sheridan College creative producer for the Broadway musical theater intensive, Gina Felicia. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Jam 2026 outdoor concerts in downtown Sheridan. Four nights, big stage, country, rock, and hip hop. Wednesday, free concert benefiting Reach with Jared Morris.
I'll be here waiting for the show.
Thursday, rock the night with Shoot to Thrill, Blow Your Top, and Recapture. Friday, Afro Man and Yin Yang Twins. And Saturday, Michael Ray. WyoJam 2026, July 8th through the 11th. Get your tickets online at wyojam.com.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
America's best days lie ahead.
We will make America greater than ever before.
Like Reagan, like Trump, Steve Freese is a strong conservative who believes in America. A businessman, not a career politician. Steve Freese can't be bought and won't back down. Steve spent decades in the trenches fighting for our conservative values, helping groups like Turning Point USA and Tea Party Patriots get off the ground, and fought for election integrity, staunchly pro-life, 100% pro-gun, secure borders, peace through strength, no tax hikes, period. A conservative like Reagan, a fighter like Trump. Vote conservative Republican Steve Freese for Congress. You'll be glad you did.
This is Steve Freese, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Freeze for Wyoming.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Doug, that big windstorm recently, I saw the neighbor kid's basketball hoop fall right on his dad's truck.
Whoa. Ouch.
Big ouch.
Then it's time for the Waring Chevrolet Collision Center.
I know you can handle that dent or any other dent that people encounter, whether basketball, hoop, wildlife, or even Mother Nature.
Plus paint repair and collision work.
Even if the damage is shaped exactly like a backboard?
Oh gosh, we've seen worse.
Get your vehicle looking right again at the Waring Chevrolet Collision Center, 107 East Alger.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning for our second part, we are speaking with Sheridan College creative producer for the Broadway musical theater intensive, Gina Felicia, and director, writer, and actor, Michael Berry. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you in here every year. I would have had you earlier. As I was saying before, the bookings have gotten crazy this year, which, as you said, good problem to have.
It is.
But I look forward to seeing you every year, Gina. How have things been going up there?
It's getting easier in some ways, and then there's always another challenge when you start a new show. Mm. This year, we have a crazy big puppet from New York.
Oh, my goodness.
The biggest one is 700 pounds.
Holy
and
God.
It was just huge, and so Michael's had to really work with the kids.
Now, the show, And people are going to know it instantly. This is an absolute classic.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell me what it is and why you chose it this year.
Me? Okay, I'll tell you why. I just think the kids really wanted to do it, to be honest.
Oh, really?
And the music in it is ideal. Yeah, it's really fun.
And it is?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
I wanted you to say it. That it's one of the greatest, I guess you could say, Broadway productions that I can ever actually remember. I've never gotten to see it on stage, which has got to come with a whole array of challenges.
It does. It was originally an off-Broadway show, believe it or not. And so it started there, and it was this little bitty show with just like six people going. And, you know, different people played different parts. And it sort of grew into this sort of cult following. And then eventually, I think they did a reboot of it around 2003. Maybe it was, I think there might have been one earlier than that. I think there was another one 2020 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then the movie came out, I think it was 87, mm-hmm. 1987 with Rick Moranis. But Ellen Green, who was the original Audrey, they let her do the movie. And, you know, oftentimes they'll grab a movie star and have them do it instead. But they decided, no, she has to play Audrey. And as you know, it's a real classic now that is seen. I mean, Steve Martin was the dentist in it and things like that. So the play is actually a little bit different. It's kind of got a different kind of ending than you saw in the movie. And come to find out in the movie that audiences sort of chose, oh, we want a happy ending. So they went ahead and succumbed to that.
Oh, wow.
But in the play, there's a much different ending than what you've seen in the movie. So if you come here expecting to see what you saw in the movie, it's a little bit different.
But I think that's also a big draw for folks. Because I know those who love this show, and I have a member of the family who does,
mm-hmm.
it's like a cult classic mm-hmm. comfort film. They know the music. They love the characters. And now to see this as the kind of the big final for the Broadway Intensive. Let's look at the Broadway Intensive.
Okay.
When it comes to the classes, for those individuals out there who may not know what this is exactly what it says it is. This is an intensive course for serious theater and production students.
Yes, it's for performers and technicians, kids interested in being a theatrical technician. They start at 9 a.m. and they work till 9 p.m.
Wow.
They have big chunky breaks in between. We make them rest. But yes, it is an intensive and it's very rigorous, the schedule. So we've had a lot of students lose weight. You know,
I mean, just pushing it hard.
Wow, I lost weight. Yeah, because, you know, we're working so hard. This year, we're really fortunate because we got to bring out Michael Berry, who has such an extensive career in television and film and Broadway himself. So he's great because he kind of mixes the two mediums. You know, he has a lot and he's kind of got a little bit of a cinematic way of directing, I think, which is great for the kids to get that experience. We also had Shane Sinnell, amazing scenic designer, work with our technical kids. Out of Chicago, and he works on shows like Chicago Med, and you know what I mean? He does television and theater and opera. And this year, we were going to have Pete Donovan from the Majestic. The Majestic Theater had a big switch because Beaches on Broadway closed, and so he had to be there, but that's what happens in the industry, and that's in their contract, too, is that sometimes they can't do it because they're required to be at their main job. He really wanted to be here. But Michael helped me find Joseph Walls, who is teaching lighting design to the kids, too. So we have a pro team, including the collaboration with the Sheridan College faculty, which is amazing.
It's like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the talented individuals. You've got the connections from such a rich career of your own.
Mm-hmm.
How do you convince these people, these people to come into Sheridan for this intensive theatrical course?
Well, Michael agreed to do it because he knew that I would cook for him. So
it's definitely the food.
Absolutely.
It's the pasta.
The older I get, the more I can totally identify.
It's important for you.
Absolutely it is. It's just one of those situations where I'm always talking about how unique Sheridan is.
Mm-hmm.
This Broadway intensive is definitely one of the jewels in that crown, where it's so much with so many talented individuals from all over the nation and the world. Last year, the world.
Yeah.
So these kids have, and it might not all be kids, I'll say students. These students,
correct.
Have an amazing opportunity. But boy, they really work for it, as you said.
Yeah.
How has this year's batch been?
This year's batch has been really interesting because we've had three students that have been sort of alumni with the intensive that have gone on to work professionally.
Wow.
So that's why we do what we do, is because we see and mine talent out of these kids. And they didn't even know that they could do this. And I think that that has been the biggest payoff. That's motivating.
One of those situations where you don't know you have it until it's absolutely required.
Yeah. And people like this guy can say, yeah, you can do that. You know what I mean? And here's how, or here's what you need to work on. They learn what they know and they learn what they don't know and how to find it. But the college has been a phenomenal way to launch off. And so many of them have been studying under Stephanie Koltiska with dance. Dr. Cerny, Michael just felt like, wow.
I'm a big fan of Dr. Cerny.
Isn't he amazing?
He's terrific. Yeah.
He's great. He was the musical director for this project. And, you know, studying voice with him, I even took classes last year. And I'm trying to get myself back in shape because I got to go back in and audition.
I know.
I got to go back in. That's another conversation. But yeah, so I got to study with Dr. Cerny, and he's phenomenal, wonderful vocal technician.
Michael, the big productions, it seems so otherworldly to those of us in here in the little humble cowboy state. And to have somebody like you come in and say, okay, this is what it's like. This is what's required. How do the students react when they see, okay, I have an idea of what the industry is like, but now I've learned the truth of it?
I think that that's a great question. I think that coming into any situation, I always come towards it with dealing with whatever's right in front of me. When I knew that this was going to be an ambitious project when we started it, and when I came in, I really needed to ascertain who the actors were in front of me. Because I don't come from a teaching background. I come directly from working with, you know, professional actors, or, you know, which are all at different levels. And one of the reasons that I always like to do this is I learn something every time I do it. I never feel like, oh, I've got this down now. I'm the pro. I'm learning stuff about this show and about different things about directing by working with these students that are in front of me at all their different levels of where they are in their work, how they think about things. And because if I try to force them to work the way I work, that can sometimes just be a failure. I have to deal with what they have to give me and what's right in front of me and lift that up. And that's not me trying to be nice. That's literally trying to make it work the best way it possibly can. And I find that that is the most successful way to work with every actor that I work with. So I'm really doing the same thing that I do when I'm working with other actors. It's just in a different way. So if I'm working with someone who's been acting for 35 years and they're a professional, I deal with them with that because they come in with a whole toolbox.
Yeah.
But if I go and I'm working with someone who's brand new to it and they might know how to sing, they might know how to dance a little, they might have some idea of what acting is, but they haven't really explored it and they don't have a whole bunch of life experience to draw from, I'm pulling from that. So am I working a little harder with that? Sometimes, yes, I am. But at the same time, it's the same method.
Yeah,
I'm dealing with them right where they are, which is what I have to do. You know, I've worked with movie stars where I could walk up and just look at them in the eye and just kind of nod my head and go, okay, you got that? And they're like, yeah, I got it. And then I move away from them. And then I move towards a student and I may have to explain a whole bunch of things. Like, you know, when your mom yells at you and it makes you feel bad, does this and this and this. And I'll explain a whole methodology and they go, oh, yeah, I got it now. And as soon as they start nodding their heads, I walk away and let them try it. It's just about getting them to understand what we're doing. What's the story we're telling?
As a director, is it challenging sometimes to have an actor come in, and I'm going to say student, have a student come in and take on a role that they may have seen as iconic their entire life, and now they've got oh man, I don't want to mess this up. How do I find this person? Is it your role as a director to help them discover that, or how do you motivate them into kind of finding that individual that they see on screen, but you don't want on screen? I want you.
You're exactly right. You want them to bring themselves to it as well. And the rules that I always say is that the best idea wins. So if you have a good idea, I'm not going to break it off of you. But if I just see you just copying something that you've already seen, and some audiences are like, oh yeah, that's because that's what I expected. Mm. But if you can't surprise an audience, there's no reason to do it. If you can't bring something new to a work that's already been done, then you shouldn't be doing it.
It's been done.
It's been done. So yes, you can go, I love that part of what they did. You're still going to bring yourself to it, because no matter how good you are, you're not going to be able to imitate them precisely anyway. So you can use that thing as a map. You can use that thing that you saw. But if you just try to copy it directly, it's not going to play. So I basically remind them or convince them or pull them along to bring them to bring what they have to it as well.
When it comes to all the different mediums that you've worked in, a lot of times individuals will say, but I love the theater. I want to return to the theater. I always have the draw to the theater. Where do you sit? Do you love film, television, or theater more?
I love acting on stage. And I like acting on film and directing, but I love directing in film, and I like television as well, but I really, really love directing on film. There's no replacement for acting on stage. Mm. And the actors that I enjoy working with the most have always done some theater. And I remember being on one of my first movies. I was on a ride because we had horses in the movie, and I was on a ride with the actor Ed Harris. And I remember him saying, you know, if I could just work in theater all the time, I would just do that. He said, but, you know, we've grown too accustomed to this lifestyle. So, you know.
Yeah.
And he, to his credit, he and his wife, Amy Madigan, who won an Oscar this year, they go out and do theater every year, either in New York or some other venue, because they both really still believe in the theater.
They want to stay grounded.
They do. They do. They know that's where their real muscles came from. Mm-hmm. And even though they're both excellent film actors, they're both quite powerful on stage as well.
Challenges with, I'm running out of time, and I've got 10 million questions that are running around in my head, so I got to stick to the subject. Challenges with the large puppet.
Ah. Well, we have this we have this puppeteer, Kat, who is a wonderful puppeteer. But what happened is that Kat is not that large of a person. And when we saw the puppet, it was like, oh my Lord, you can't get in there and even reach that thing. So we had to get this other lovely guy, Bridger, who is running the puppets. But Kat is being a coach and working the smaller puppets and things like that. So that was a surprise to us. We didn't know what was going to happen until we got there, because I've never done Little Shop of Horrors. I had no idea how heavy that thing was. And we got one of the puppets that like 25 years old, and it's quite heavy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Now, someone's actually in there. So when you folks are watching this production, they'll know there's someone in there sweating their...
Yes.
Just trying
there is,
to get this
There is,
up.
And cranking it out and losing weight in there. And we've also got... some of the ensemble who's making that thing come alive, that they're acting as roots and pieces of the puppet that we sort of figured out when we got here, like, oh my gosh, what if we do this? What if we have them be part of the creature? And Stephanie's getting all over that and teaching them moves, and it's making the whole thing come alive and get bigger and be better. So, and that was a discovery when we got here.
And again, you know, having Stephanie step in, dance, body movement, making something unnatural look natural.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And theatrical big. As opposed to cinematic.
Exactly. Because you got to be big. You got to be emote.
Yes,
emote.
You do.
How can folks see this production, Gina?
Well, they need to go to Sheridan.edu, SheridanCollege.edu. And there, it's easy. If you just type in the search Little Shop of Horrors, you're going to go right to the tickets. Yeah. And it's Friday night. We open this Friday. Are you ready, Michael? We open this Friday night.
He's looking at you like, are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, this Friday?
Yeah. This Friday we start at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then we have two more shows on Saturday. We have a 2 p.m. matinee, and then we have another 7 p.m. evening performance on Saturday night. And I wouldn't miss it. I just wouldn't miss it. I'm hoping that the community will come and enjoy and laugh and, you know, just be part of this ridiculous little piece of theater.
Yeah, the music is great. It's emotional. It's funny. It's everything. And the kids are crazy talented.
Yeah.
Come see them.
And if you think you know how everything ends, you might be wrong.
Yeah, you might be surprised.
I know where I'm going to be on Friday. As soon as the wife hears, I know exactly where I'm going to be.
Okay.
It was an absolute pleasure to have both of you in here. It was an honor to meet you, sir. And Gina, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming in once again.
Yeah.
I love this program.
Thank you.
I love the talent that you bring in to get it done. And I absolutely adore you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest American birthday bash in Wyoming.
Have mercy, looky there, what's she doing in here? I think I just fell in love.
The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with hot new country western star Cole Goodwin. I'm Tommy B from the Coyote Morning Show, proud to bring the footstop and two-step and music of Cole Goodwin to downtown Buffalo. The Red, White, and West 250 is more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love and the western spirit that still runs strong in Wyoming. A night of country music, small town pride, and America's 250th birthday celebrated the way it ought to be. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at wildfeeder.com or at the gate for the Red, White, West 250 with Cole Goodwin.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
The City of Sheridan Weed and Pest would like to announce that mosquito fogging will begin starting the week of June 15th and continue through the mosquito breeding season. Fogging will take place Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings when necessary. For more information, to report heavy concentrations of mosquitoes, or to request that your home be in a no-spray zone, please call the mosquito hotline at 307-655-8297 or visit the website at www.sheridanwy.gov.
You know what's frustrating? Your check engine light comes on and the first place you call says, well, we can get to you next Tuesday. At Midas Tire and Auto, we know your car can't wait. That's why, in most cases, we offer same-day service with a full staff ready to get you back on the road right away. And we stand behind our work with a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty on parts, plus lifetime warranties on mufflers, shocks, and struts, brakes, and tires. Come visit us today at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Arrow West Insurance, ERA Carroll Realty, and Sheridan Tactical are back with another Paintball Challenge sweepstakes, Julie.
Sheridan Media had a team of 10 out there, and it was so much fun.
Well, right now, one person's going to win an all-inclusive paintball experience for four.
All-inclusive?
Headgear, gun, 500 rounds of paintball, and you can play all four fields. There's a car lot, berm field, tires, and my favorite was the woods.
My team lost, so we're going back for redemption.
The ERA Carroll Realty and Arrow West Insurance. Insurance. Paintball Team Challenge sweepstakes on now through June 28th at SheridanMedia.com.